USA Chat with Sat, March 8, 2024.
Hi, everyone.
Hi, Sachin. Welcome. I am filling in for Farnaz and Bahar. Anytime you're ready, I'm ready with the question.
Go ahead.
First question, Sachin. Can the unseen grace be seen with the inner senses?
Yeah. When we are in tune with the invisible, we see it in our life. I don't know how else you would feel, probably contentment, joy at times. You have a better understanding of people. But it's because it is invisible. It only the visibility of it is in the way you feel in your life. It's just like love. Love is invisible, but it gets expressed by words or loving thoughts or action. Go ahead.
I have been trying to be alert when a repeated worry comes, and I let my presence nullify it rather than trying to escape it. But when I ask, "What are you? Where did you come from?" I don't get an answer or a deeper understanding yet, just peace. But the thought continues to come back. Am I doing something wrong?
No, when the only reason we question it, to be proved to us that when we question it, we go into silence. Therefore, that alone shows that it was not anything stable, real, and this way we see the quality of our thoughts. We don't believe it like we did before. When worry came, we were really felt very uncomfortable and almost one with it. But by questioning and seeing that goes into silence and peace, that begins to prove to us that it didn't have any stability, it didn't have any reality. It was just a passing cloud. And if it comes back, you do the same thing. You either don't go with it, or don't believe it, or question it. Once you see it clearer and clearer that it doesn't have any base, then it won't show up as much. But until then, it will come back, and you have to practice continuously until you understand that it's just not what you thought it was. There is no really any other remedy, because any other remedy is made up in the mind. The only remedy is either you question it or you keep silence against it. In other words, you pull yourself out of the opposites, out of the duality. That is the becomes permanent little by little. And you experience more peace than discord as this develops, this understanding. Go ahead.
On the last chat, you had said, what if you accept that you are not wrong or right? What if you accept that you are neither fearful nor without a fear? What happens then? Freedom of thinking. Can you please elaborate on this quote?
Yeah, that was a very, very important point. We always want to make a good, bad situation good. A good situation to hold on to get attached to correct ourselves. And when we correct ourselves, we become so proud of our correction. And it's just a vicious cycle going on and on and on. But when you pull yourself out of the opposite side, neither do I want good, nor do I want bad. Neither do I want joy nor sorrow. It is immediately there is a stillness. We free our soul from this battle of rejecting and wanting, correcting and failing. So on our path is not about making a bad good. It's realizing the quality of this bad and good and how they follow one another. They are like a loop in a chain. They are intertwined with one another. And in order to break that chain is to move away from either. So, changes bring opposites, but our beingness or our pure consciousness has absolutely no opposite in it. Go ahead, Aida.
Next question. Hi, dear Sat. In one of the series of contemplative meditation programs on April 26, 2016, you had said, quote, it doesn't matter if we accept what we're contemplating on. What is important is we recognize it. Through contemplation, we sharpen our sense of recognition, our sense of not being fooled, our sense of being or not being, end quote. My question is, how does this recognition happen in us, that expansion in us? Would you please elaborate on that?
I think we talked about expansion last chat we had together. Contemplation cannot be done with the outgoing senses, whether it is seeing it, dissecting it, hearing it, and pondering on it. It has to be done in a very, very silent mind. When you say, who am I? You're questioning directly the concrete quality of yourself. As if you're saying to yourself, okay, I went through a lot of ups and downs in my life, but I want to know who went through all these ups and downs in the life. So when you say, who am I, in your own silence, and I don't know how to explain, it's not the mind asking. It is an awareness of this question that asks without, it's very hard to explain, but the closest I can get is as if your heart is asking, who am I? And what is the result of that question is complete silence and sinking. Why? Why doesn't it say who I am? Because that silence is who we are. It's actually telling us who we are. But we are so used to words and explanation and all of the philosophy of ourself that we forget that every time we say, who am I? The reality is shown. So contemplation is a questioning through your heart, whether it takes you to a deeper silence or awareness, communicate with you, is the true contemplation and expansion. Go ahead.
This is our final question, Sachin. It has two parts. In an elaboration on the consciousness being conscious of itself meditation on a former U.S. chat, as well as an elaboration after a live stream, you have said, quote, so the daydream and the night dream exist because of my consciousness. If I was not conscious, nothing would exist, end quote. In the same audio, you have said, quote, that existence is no different than consciousness, end quote. Question, please elaborate how existence is no different than consciousness.
Well, when I say existence, I'm talking about your beingness. And the beingness belongs to that is the source of consciousness. If you were not be, or I don't know how to say it in English, if you did not exist, the consciousness would not be there. You would not be conscious of anything. So the world only exists because of your being conscious of it. And who is being conscious of it? Your beingness, your existence. Now, beyond this existence that is conscious of the universe, of the creation, manifestation, there is a subtler existence that holds all of that together. Now, which is no different at all. It's just a different in subtlety. It's like five elements, how every element has a more subtlety or more grossity than the other one. So when a soul is born as a body or not in the body, that soul's beingness creates this manifestation or becomes aware of this manifestation. But when this I amness is, we really become very familiar with it. Even the I amness and the consciousness that I amness is made out of, it melts into the infinite existence, infinite or absolute, they call it. So, I'm sorry if I'm getting too deep and it's going to be really hard to understand, but this is why we talk about I am. The I am that I'm talking about is that beingness, that or consciousness, which is one and the same. But when it's held, it goes to a subtler existence, which is the totality. It really goes beyond measurement. And that we call the silence, peace, stillness. And that's the one that Jesus said, be still and know. Because the knowing is infinite now at that point. It is not a limited knowing. But in order to get to the subtlest part of our totality, we need to go through the being, I am. And in order to do that, you have to have more attention in the I am alone, that I am, than I am this and I am that. From the moment we wake up in the morning, we say, I am awake. I have a lot to do. I have an appointment. I have to fix food. I have to drive to the school. And that has to be reversed in some degree by just I am, just being, beingness. And then when you go to the pure consciousness, being conscious of itself, which is the same as beingness, then it transcends itself to a immeasurable state of total being. And that is the enlightenment that realized people talk about. I am really surprised that a handful of people on the chat have capacity to even hear what is being said here. Because this is not a normal conversation, because it has nothing to do with the creation or manifestation. We are talking about the naked truth of who we are and how to realize it. And just the fact that you were guided to call on the chat shows your capacity, whether the mind rejected, accepted, or even does not have the capacity to behold it. Anything else?
Yes, there is a second part to that same question. In the deep sleep we exist, there's being without awareness. How can there be existence in a deep sleep without awareness?
There is always awareness. It's just that you are interpreting awareness differently. You're interpreting the awareness as consciousness, being conscious of something. It doesn't matter if we are in deep sleep, we still exist. That existence is the totality of existence, because there is no beingness or consciousness in it. And that is the reason, as Ramana would say, you get up in the morning and you say, I had a very deep sleep. Who had the very deep sleep if consciousness was not there? That's something to contemplate on. Huh? Even a corpse it still is in consciousness. It still is with one with the consciousness. Just because it's not moving does not mean it's out of it. This is why I say, you know, when we look at the birds, the trees, and or enlightened souls and, or avatars, we are no different than the birds, the corpse, the avatar, as far as the consciousness is concerned, because there is only one consciousness that has all the manifestation as that. So when we look at an animal, all we can say is, if there is one consciousness, what can this be? And we realize that we have absolutely no separation from that animal at all. In reality, if you ignore the form of different forms or different characters, you come back to the base of one consciousness, acting as different entities. Like one dreamer acting as so many entities in the dream. We see our mother in the dream. It's really us. It's really the dreamer. There is no mother there. It's the dreamer that created the mother, the father, the house, the events in the dream. So in the daydream, there is only one consciousness that created all of these entities. But we are that consciousness, even though we find ourselves to be an entity only. And this is what the spiritual path is, to make us realize that yes, we see entities, but can we also imagine we are the dreamer of these, all of these entities, since there is only one consciousness? Am I losing everybody there?
I don't think so.
So that's that.
That was all the questions that we got, Satyun. Thank you.
Not good. Well, for those of you that is this type of truth, it's really steaming up your mind. Just know that I was talking to myself. All right, so now, I don't know what time it is, but we can open it up to sharing. I like to hear from you guys.
Hi, Seth. This is Anita.
Hi, Anita.
I really wanted to thank you from my deepest gratitude. You have given a lot of the wisdom, the teachings, and I have a very deepest gratitude towards you, Seth. When I was growing up, I had seen Satya Sai Baba on TV, but I never get an opportunity to think about what is he teaching and what is he behind all these concepts. No, never I put it across my time or my mind into it. I don't know when I turned 40, I don't know how that I was pulled into the spiritual journey, but you have shed the beacon of light in my life, which is very close to my heart where I am today. And thank you so much, Seth. And I was wishing, when I was reading your Nazrain book, I was reading, and I was like, God, everyone experienced Satya Sai Baba very close by. They were able to feel him, touch him and feel the earning. And I was earning for it. I wasn't jealous, but I was earning for that moment to happen in my life. And I that was granted in my life this week. And thank you so much, Seth. And he showed me with a radiant smile, you are the one I should be getting the earning from. And thank you so much, Seth. I don't have any other
words.
He said, like, you know, he said, it's, she just in front of you. And that's where your earning is, has to be resolved. Thank you. Thank you so much, Seth.
I'm so glad to hear that. I'm so glad that you were sent to the right place at the right time when the need was very great in your life. I'm so glad that you are holding on to it and with such an enthusiasm and love, and it really will affect your environment as it has affected you so beautifully. So thank you for sharing.
Thank you so much for everything you have given in my life. I'm so grateful and my deepest gratitude towards you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
سلام سر جون، خیلی خوشحالم که صداتون رو میشنم، قربونتون برم، خیلی ممنونم از اینکه بر ما اجازه میدید که یه همچین برنامه رو داشته باشیم، خیلی خیلی کمک کننده است. من راستش یه دونه سوال داشتم از شما. توی افتی قبل یعنی چندین سوال دارم، یکیشو الان میپرسم. و شما به من گفتین که اگر حقیقتا ازش نمیترسیدی اینجوری نمیشد. من اگر براتون مغزو باشه دوست داشتم بدونم که یعنی چی حقیقتا اگر ازش نمیترسیدم.
از چی نمیترسیدی؟ اصلا ترس رو میگی، راجب ترس؟
بله، داشتیم در مورد این حرف میزدیم که من وقتی که پیش شما بودم اصلا انگار که توی کما بودم و وقتی هم که اومدم اینجا خیلی همه چیز عالی فوق‌العاده بود، ولی خدمتون گفته بودم که وقتی که یه آرامشی رو من میچشم انگار حس میکنم که اون حق رو ندارم و خب خیلی حس بدی بود. و شما به من فرمودین که اگر حقیقتا وقتی که این فکر اومد ازش نمیترسیدی.
Yeah, that's right. Who is translating this?
Hi, Sachin. Radha.
Go ahead, Radha.
Thank you. Nigrata, I'm so happy to hear your voice. And having meetings like this has been so helpful for me. I do have a question. In the last SDE, I shared with you that after leaving you, I would experience deep peace, but then the thought would come that would say, you don't deserve to have peace like this. And it was very disturbing. And you said to me that if you didn't really fear it, fear that thought, then this wouldn't be happening to you right now. I want to know, Sat, what does it mean when you say, if I didn't really fear that thought?
Well, I'm going to say it in English since Nigar is really good in English. You say that the thought that I don't deserve it disturbed you. The reason that it disturbed you because you had a fear of what if you lose it, that feeling. Had you not given to this thought, and have you not were disturbed by this thought, knowing that there is just a thought that you have given attention before that you're not worthy, had you stopped giving it any value or fear it or resist it, it would have been finished right then. So when I say because you were interested and you feared it, is because it disturbed you. And we get disturbed at something that it shakes our confidence or gives us fear. And that goes back to say that when a thought comes that I'm not worthy, question it and say, who is not worthy? Who is? Whose opinion is this? To whom this thought is happening, like Ramana would say. And then it will shut up right there. Questioning is important when you are not capable of not going with the thought. Even when you have a lot of thoughts in your mind, if for a moment you turn to your thoughts and say, give me another thought, the mind cannot give you a thought. Because it wants to be a leader, it doesn't want to be a follower. And when a thought of worthlessness comes or not being a worthy, just genuinely don't move and don't believe it. It's only a thought. It doesn't have any roots. Its roots is in imagination. So if there is one more sharing, we can go, even though we are a little bit over our time. If anybody was contemplating on sharing, so they have a chance before we say goodbye.
Hi, Pat. This is Radha. I wanted to thank you so much for the wisdom about allowing your presence to nullify the thought, being very alert and conscious and asking, what are you? Where did you come from? I feel like with this wisdom and with your explanation of it, I no longer, the thoughts that come that feared me, that would scare me, I would always just want the situation to be remedied so that I didn't have to fear that way anymore. And now a situation comes along in this last couple of weeks, and I feel like it's an opportunity to almost strengthen this muscle and put to practice what you've taught me. And it feels like I'm not alone, and the fearful thought isn't that bad. And I really wanted to thank you for it.
Thank you for sharing. But my last words would be, do not get discouraged. As long as there is a tendency in the mind that has not been remedied over and over, it will sneak in. But fear not. Grace says, I am with you. Eventually, we will release that situation, because we have so much wisdom now, so much ways of dealing with it in a right way, and so much more understanding of what it means by questioning. So it's like digging a well. Every shovel is one shovel less to get to the water. And just think of it as your life now. Before, the life was a completely ignorance. Now the life has light, and and it has some darkness, but it has light. So we just keep on digging until we hit the water. Namaste to all of you.